I'm going to exhort a message today the Lord gave us a long time ago. How many know God shares the end from the beginning? And today you're going to need your revelation cap on today. I'm going to take you through an intense journey of what God's going to do in the end times concerning the living waters, what's in those waters. Everyone's definition of the living waters is different. Your definition of living waters is what you understand them to be, your revelation of them. Today, we want to expand that revelation a little bit. God's doing a lot of things in the earth. He's about to bring the best wine for the last times. So today, I want corporately to expand our revelation of what God wants to bring out. We'll begin in John 7. Jeremiah calls Christ, or God, the fountain of living waters. We're going to begin with John 7. Most of this I'm going to have to exhort, but I'm going to describe something to you today that probably has five separate messages, at least, built into it. When God gives me revelation, he doesn't part just knowledge. He parts revelation, picture, imagery. It's living. It's prophetic, and it's living. With John 7, verse 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood crying, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. That's one operation of God. The second operation is what I want to talk to you about today. And he that believeth on me is stages. In the beginning, he that believeth on me will have everlasting life. This one is more of the crowning factor as you grow into him, as we develop in him. There is another revelation of believe on me. So this one out from your innermost, it's not your natural belly, it's innermost being. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceed the issues of life. Your spirit and the depths of your spirit, that's Christ in you, the hope of glory, the kingdom of God within you. That realm, out from that realm will flow rivers. But what he said is as the scripture saith. There's no scripture that actually says that anywhere, that says out from your innermost being, but it did say it. And the Lord was speaking out of revelation knowledge. I'm going to bring three or four realms I believe he was speaking out of that was saying the same thing. He was talking about living waters that would flow out of your vessel into the earth. What those living waters were, what's the content of those waters, the understanding of those waters. To some people, it's just joy. To some people, it's just presence. To other people, they can see a full-blown king-priest government in these waters, a restoration of the house of David in these waters, waters that can overcome death itself. Those waters. I want you to go to Ezekiel 47. I'm not going to do the whole chapter. I'm going to minister out of the Amplified. Ezekiel saw a prophetic picture of waters, end time waters, that would come out of the sanctuary. And he saw it break out of the foundation. And this sanctuary's door faced to the east. This is actually east, because that would be north. So I'm facing east. The Bible said that waters broke out of the south side, or the right hand, if you're facing east. Out of the right hand of God, he showed unto me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne and out of the Lamb. It just didn't come out of the throne. It came out of the Father. It came out of the Lamb. And now it's going to come out of you because you're seated together with him at the right hand of God. But in reality, and it takes revelation, it takes understanding, all of that is inside of you. Everything's inside of you. It takes a little bit of understanding of how to get in touch with it inside. I remember when the first time the Lord said, look inside. And I'm like, I kept looking at me. I'm like, I don't like what's inside there. He goes, no. Look at the other place. You don't look at you. Because sometimes you look inside. It's like, how do I look inside of me? I mean, what's in there? Give me a picture. You have to have revelation of the kingdom to be able to look inside. If there's a revelation of, there's a lot of stuff inside you. Today I'm talking about the rivers, and I don't want to go inside too much. As this temple is facing east, waters broke out of the right side, and they begin to fill the threshold. How many of you know we're the temple of the living God? behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. And these waters, said it, issued out of the threshold, and they began to launch out, and then again to get ankle deep. And then they got to the knees. These are places where maturity is born. Knees means surrender. Ankle deep is just the beginning. Loins, when it got to the loins, that's your birthing center. So that's when you start birthing things. And then it got to the waters that go over our head. There is going to be a full baptism of living waters in the last days, where the waters are going to rise, say living waters, to such a level we're going to come into a full 100% baptism of life itself. It was in that baptism that we lost our life. And it said, the Bible said it was waters that went over our head that went so wherever the river goeth. At that point, it's no more your life. It's Christ in you that's overcome you. These waters are coming out of us. To understand their content, you have to go down into the chapter. But there's a very specific verse I want to look at. He talks about the waters that go into the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is the world system that was subjected to death. The Dead Sea, it said everything. In fact, it said they cast their nets from Eglaim to En-Gedi. And then they drew out fish of every kind. That is global harvest of the Dead Sea. And then it talked about trees of life that were being formed because of these waters. And these trees were different than any other tree because they could produce brand new fruit every single month. Amplified said specifically, these supernatural qualities being because the waters issued out. It's not enough anymore to have Christ in us. For the world, we're going to have Christ through us. Christ through. Christ to, Christ in, Christ with, Emmanuel, Christ through. It has to break out into the earth. The Lord spoke of this fountain that would, he that believe upon me, waters, rivers. And it said these supernatural qualities being because of the waters came out of the sanctuary. And it also said when these waters reached the Dead Sea. You understand, this is imagery that Ezekiel's looking at. When it reaches dead humanity, everything that's dead suddenly comes to life. Everything that's dead in your body comes alive. Isaiah saw the waters that came out of the sanctuary. And he said the eyes of the blind would see. The ears of the deaf, it's Isaiah 35, would be unstopped. The maimed would leap about as a roe or a deer. The maimed would rejoice and behold, because waters in the wilderness, waters broke out. Sometimes we're going to need, before they break out, they're going to have to break out inside of us. There's dry places, there's wilderness places, there are realms within us that need water. If you don't get water, you're going to dry up. If you dry up, you're not going to function like Christ. Amen? These waters broke out and they flow to the Dead Sea. These waters started flowing at the time of Christ. I mean, at the resurrection of Christ, this fountain, Joel said it, Joel chapter 3, I think it's verse 18, it said, a fountain would burst forth from the last days, from the temple of God. In Psalms, there's other imagery too concerning these waters. He said they all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them in a wilderness. How'd you like that? A rock following you around. And say they all drank. There was at least 3 million people there. Drank of one rock that flowed out. The water gave forth its water. First time God said, smite the rock. The second time God told Moses, speak to the rock. And he got angry with the people and he smote it again. And God said, you can't go to the promised land. It's kind of harsh, isn't it? I mean, I've done worse than smite a rock before. Any of you ever get upset? One act canceled him from going to the promised land. That day God said, you cannot go in. Your people will go in, but you will not go. I'm like, after all those years, God had something greater in mind, by the way. Much greater. But why did he do that? Because the first time he said, strike the rock was Christ. And striking the rock, that was symbolic of his crucifixion. And he was only going to need to be struck once. That's it. And when it got struck again, God said, no. He said, from here on, speak. to the rock. The Bible said he opened the rock in the wilderness and gave him drink from the great depths. He opened the rock. Another one, I love this one. He said, he turneth your rock into a standing fountain of water in the flinty rock. You know what the flinty rock is? The rock's Christ. The flinty rock, that's your soul. That's the jagged places. He turns it into a standing fountain of water. Say, stand up, O rock inside of me. The Lord Jesus is going to stand up in his people in the last days. The rock's going to stand up into a fountain geyser well of life. And that life is going to manifest to humanity. Dunamis creative power or virtue will flow. It didn't just flow out of Christ. It's going to flow out of you. Christ in you is going to release his waters. And as soon as they break out in this jurisdiction, they're anointed with signs, miracles, and wonders instantaneously. It flowed to the Dead Sea. He started turning my rock into a standing mountain water. So the rock that's come bringing forth the water that followed them around is inside you. That rock is Christ. Say, the rock is Christ. When Martha was standing before the Lord and he showed up and Lazarus is dead now, he goes, Lord, if you would have come when I asked for you to come. It's amazing how entitled people get when they're walking around with the Lord. She was very entitled. She felt very entitled to be with the Lord. And she said, you know, if you'd have come when we called and summoned you, my brother would not have died. That's basically her attitude. We called for you and you didn't show up. He said, did I not say you would see the glory of God? She says, yeah, I understand. And then he says, your brother will rise again. But she was not in his wavelength. A lot of times people speak. A lot of times revelation is released. People are not on the wavelength. They hear something, but they're not hearing. She heard, oh, yes, Martha, your brother will rise again. No worries. So that's why she said, yes, Lord, yes, yes, yes. I know he'll rise again in the last day. That's not what he was saying. I know you'll rise in the last day. He goes, I am that resurrection. I am that life. That's who I am. I am that day. Then he calls Lazarus out of the grave. See, the revelation you have of what's inside you, if you think living waters are just joy, that's what's coming out. If you understand the resurrection quality of life that's in that rock, the Bible says the glory in the last day will be revealed from within us. In fact, your glorified body is not going to come upon you. The glory of Christ in you is going to come out. It talks about the glory in Romans 8, the glory will be revealed from within. Your body will resurrect from within. There is a resurrected body, eternal, for me in the very life that's inside of me. It gives you a definition. You're not just a sinner saved by grace. You are a bona fide son and daughter of the Most High God with resurrection life on the inside. The problem is we haven't learned how to release that yet. It's there. But what God does is he spends a little bit of time seeding what's inside of there. He wants you to know what's up in there. So when it comes out, it'll come out by your fountain. Is kind of like your garden. What you put in comes out. What you put in your waters comes out to the waters. It's your revelation of the waters. That's what comes out. Amen. So there is a very specific, okay, go to verse 9 in the Amplified in Ezekiel 47. I want you to see this. Because when the Lord gave me this, he showed us the end from the beginning. But now he's ready to bring these waters out. They are ready. Now you're going to have to get your revelation cap on now. Because I'm about to unload something on you in the next 30 minutes. An understanding of what God's going to do. And I'm going to have to say it and just pray you get it. Amen? All right. The key to what God's going to do is in this verse. Go to 8. He said to me, these waters pour out towards the eastern region and they go down to the Jordan Valley on into the Dead Sea. That's the Dead Sea of humanity. And when they shall enter into the sea, the waters shall be healed and made fresh. Other translation will say everything that was dead was made to live again. Now verse 9 is masters. And wherever the double rivers,
wherever the double,
I'm going to give you a revelation of the double river.
Wherever the double river shall go, I'm so glad. He put it in there. Wherever the double, every living creature which swarms shall live.
You're a living creature. You little flesh creature, you're going to live.
There'll be a very great number of fish because these waters go there. The waters of the sea will be healed and made fresh, and everything will live wherever the river goes.
There's going to be life. There's going to be an unprecedented move of life in the last days. The final move of God will be life, resurrection life. We are generation resurrection. And there'll be a revealing of that life in the last days, such as the world has not seen in a very long time. And it's going to come out from us. It didn't originate with us, but it's coming out of us.
Say, let the river flow. Zechariah 14 verse 8 in the Amplified says this, and then I'm going to go to exhortation mode. It shall come to pass in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. Half of them towards the eastern sea, half of them to the western sea. Eastern, Dead Sea. Western, Mediterranean. That's the double river. These waters broke out in the early days, Book of Acts. But there was a aspect to these waters that were not going to release until the end times. The second half of these waters, the first half continues to flow. It flows generation after generation. It doesn't stop with our generation. The waters until Jesus comes back will flow to the Dead Sea continuously from his people. That is part of our first covenant. It's never going to stop. See it that way. The second part had a time to it and a purpose. When they asked the Lord in the book of Acts, will you again restore Israel? He told them very clearly, he wasn't rebuking them. He was basically saying, it's not for you to know the times and seasons that God has put under his control. What he was saying to them, this is not your generation. But he says, but you will be anointed with the Holy Ghost and power and be my eyewitnesses of my resurrection. That is your generation. There is another generation that it is going to be the time and the season to restore the house. Now, understand what he's saying. Well, the Bible says in Isaiah 9, unto us a son has been given, unto us a child has been born, and the government is upon his shoulders. And the increase of his government and peace, there'll be what? No end. Upon the throne of David, to establish it forever. Very clear in Acts chapter 2, when Peter was given his sermon, that he's talked about how David suffered death, but this son, he would not suffer death, but he would sit upon the throne. He talked about Christ was the inheritor heir of the throne of David. But Christ never sat on David's throne in the earth. How many of you know that? They said, this spake he of the resurrection. When he ascended into the Ancient of Days, Daniel 7 saw him ascend into the Ancient of Days. There was given him a kingdom and a glory and a dominion. And it was an everlasting kingdom. That was David's throne the Father was giving to him. God did something very unique. He called an end for David's lineage in that day. In fact, it was AD 70. Jerusalem was destroyed. They poured salt in their fields. They wouldn't let them grow. They took it over. It called an end to that day. But God didn't end anything. He reassigned it. If they were paying attention and listening to what he was doing, he was reassigning the house. God didn't end it because he promised someone would sit on his David's throne forever. But he cut off that operation in AD 70. But he didn't cut it off in heaven. God took all the throne, all the glory, all of his plantings. You have to understand, when you're talking about David's throne, it goes back to Abraham's day. We have a whole series on this called the Mount Hebron Inheritance. It traces the generational wealth from Abraham all the way to Christ and beyond. In that series, We talked about how Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all their wives except for one were all buried in that mountain called Mount Hebron. They're all buried there. It's a very special relevance. That mountain is where the 12 spies came in immediately when the promised land. They went straight down to Mount Hebron. That's where the grapes came out of. That's where the staves and the grapes and the men carried the inheritance. That's where the giants were. Why were they there? Because that's where the produce was. How did that mountain produce such produce? We don't grow fruit like that. One cluster of men had to carry it on their shoulders. Where did that come from? God planted that anointing in that mountain. All the patriarchs, their anointing. Your body carries the anointing. Elisha, remember his body? That dead Moabite fell in Elisha's body in the grave and immediately came to life. These men carried anointing. God planted the patriarchs, a generation of inheritance in that mountain, and boom, grapes came out. Caleb goes, give me that mountain. I want that mountain. You know the story. Caleb had to go back. Wilderness came back, inherited that mountain. Caleb, after 45 year stand of faith at 85 years old, strength is in me that day that I walked in there. That same strength's in me now. Give me this, therefore, this mountain. Their defense is part of them. Nobody asked for the mountain. As soon as Caleb asked for it, Josh said, well, you know, the giants are there. He goes, they're bred for me. And he inherited the mountain. He was of the lineage of Judah. Judah was in here of the mountain. They drove out the giants out to a place called Gath. A couple hundred years later comes David, and another champion shows up in the demonic realm called Goliath of what? Gath. He was an original descendant. Promised land giants. David talked just like Caleb. David took him down. David was ready to inherit. After his long battle with Saul, what happens? Ziglag gets burned. Sometimes when something gets burned, it's not always saying, God saying, it's not yours. This is not your habitation. I have something better. His whole city got burned to the ground. And God said, go now. Go now, David, to Hebron. It is there I will crown you. Why did David have to be crowned in Hebron before Jerusalem? He had to inherit the crown. The mountain had to give up its inheritance. So God brought David in there, but this time the mountain didn't just produce an inheritance, it produced a crown. It forged a crown to fulfill the word of Abraham, kings have come out from your loin. Out of Jacob I'll bring a seed, out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. Christ inherited Mount Hebron. David inherited, Solomon inherited, Zerubbabel inherited, Lerubbabel is going to inherit it. Hallelujah! Because if you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heirs to all of it. But what happened? I'm getting back. I took a little trail there to show you kind of what was in there. Christ took the throne, took the inheritance, took the legacy, inherited all the plantings of the Lord. And he took it all up into the throne. When he went before the Ancient of Days, the Father ordered the reassignment of the throne of David. The reassignment of the crown. He reassigned the house of David, and Christ became the solitary heir of it all. In the heavens, God did something remarkable. He took something that was natural and he spiritualized it. He took the natural throne of God and he took it up in the heavens and he forged a glory, a crown, eternal in the heavens. He eternalized David's house. So, Christ on his way up wasn't reestablishing the house of David at that time in the book of Acts. He said, it's not for your generation to know the times the Father has put under his authority. But there is a generation, Psalms 24 says there is, that the King of glory, lift up your head, O you gates, lift up your head, you everlasting door. The King of glory is returning. The King, say the King. Upon the throne of David, he's going to sit. So now, watch this. Now God's going to take what he spiritualized and he's got to naturalize it again or manifest it back into this realm. God took something that was natural, made it spirit. Now he's taking something spirit. He's got to bring it all back into the earth. All of it has to come back into the earth.
because the King of Glory is returning with the house of David, with the throne, with the crown, the glory of all the house, all the way back to Abraham. All of it's coming back to rule and reign for 1,000 years. But we, the church, are going to testify and actually participate in the reemergence of the house of David and all of its glory, because the Bible specifically says in Haggai, the glory, aren't you glad you came to church today? The glory of the latter day house shall be greater than the former house. He didn't say the latter day church. He said latter day house. There's a house coming. It's a house of royalty. It'll be greater than Solomon's day. In all things greater. Once again, I'll shake them. There's coming a wealth transference with their coming of glory. There's going to be a sound of worship we've never heard before. Songs are going to come out. We've never heard. The glory of life will be expressed in unprecedented ways. The double river's coming out. The end time double river. Because the other river flowed to what was called the Great Sea. What was the Great Sea? That's the Mediterranean Sea. Now these waters are reemerging with a word. Christ in the book of Revelations, the Lamb sitting on the throne, emerges with 7 eyes and 7 horns upon him. You have to understand the imagery of the book of Revelation. Horns means kings and kingdoms. We know that now. Eyes mean wisdom and omniscience. 7 means perfection. Perfected wisdom. Perfected dominion. Crown. God re-emerged the crown. He perfected it. And now worthy is the Lamb to receive the 7 inheritance. Now the kings and priests will rule and reign in the earth. And he talked about the 7 spirits of God that was upon the Lamb being released into the earth. To cover the earth. There is a baptism coming. It's the baptism of the house of David. God has to baptize us again in the royalty of the Most High God. We are kings and priests. We will rule and reign. And it has to be a baptism and a reemergence of this house in the earth. So now these water, Great Sea, Mediterranean Sea, that was the Sea of Commerce. Everything that was done commerce-wise was done in the Great Sea. That's, it fed to the Nile. It fed to Rome. You get the picture. Everybody was on those waters. There was something else on these waters. These waters are going to override. In Ezekiel 26, it talked about, aha, the gates of Jerusalem have been broken, speaking of Solomon's fall. Now I'm being replenished. It talked about a city called Tyre. And it's Tyre, it's just, and God's pronouncing a judgment, because I'll bring Nebuchadnezzar on thee. And then 27 talked about, it was like an allegory of a ship that was being sailed into the waters, and all the merchandise of that ship was being traded all around the world. He's talking about the trading system of Tyre. And it says, I'm going to sail you out, but you're going to sail out into the eastern wind's going to dash you to pieces. This whole system is going to get completely crashed. Ezekiel 28, he summarizes it, and I want you to actually see this one, so go there. Ezekiel 28. Let's look at verse 12. This is huge. Verse 12, Son of man, take a lamentation upon the king of Tyre. Say unto him, thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You've been in Eden, the garden of God. Whoever this king was, he'd been around a while. He says, every precious stone was their covering, sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, gold. You want to know why the enemy owns the music industry? The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou was created. He was the worship leader of heaven. He was controlled with him. So he wanted that glory himself. Music was put in him from God. He corrupted it, and you see what he does with it in the world. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. You were upon the mountain of God. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, perfect in thy ways in the day thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. You know who this is? Lucifer, called the king of Tyre. When the Lord originally got to me, this is how he got me to study this. And it took me 3 months because I studied all of Solomon's wealth. You know, Solomon had a $30,000 a day budget. Literally the oil and the wine, all that. You know what I do? I went to the supermarket and I said, okay, how much is a quart of oil? I did all the calculations. I mean, he had all this, but I figured it out that it was around $30,000 a day. And that was 1998. That's times $60,000 a day. I mean, you got to understand, he had like, you know, Solomon had like 300 wives, 700 concubines. The Lord asked me a question. I'm sitting there one day. He goes, why would the devil, with all his pomp and glory, call himself the king of a city they spread fishnets upon when he boasts to be the god of the world system? That's exactly what he said to me. I'm like, why would he do that? Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Because I didn't understand what Tyre was. Tyre was the recipient of all of Solomon's fall. In fact, I traced the wealth. 400 years, Solomon's wealth, the Temple of Jerusalem, survived 8 separate plunderings until King Nebuchadnezzar burned it down. All of that wealth shifted. You understand, Solomon wasn't just running a ministry. He was running an international stock exchange out of Jerusalem. Everybody wanted to do business with Solomon because God was with him. Everybody. Man, I'll tell you what, there was something to behold. Kings were being converted, queens converted, people, everyone came. In fact, they would come and get their answer prayer and they didn't even know God. God would answer their prayer. Man, God unleashed something that generation. But when his fall, it all went to another place. It says, aha, now my gates are being replenished. And Tyre became a mart of nations, Isaiah 23. Became the merchandising mart of all nations. The devil stole because he never does anything on his own. He's always counterfeiting. He took all that was on Solomon and he created a system in the earth of control. And he started it with Tyre, and it became a mart of nations, and it was a global trading center run by his principality, the prince of Tyre. And he said, I'm king of the earth's wealth now. He stole that magnificent generation of wealth. It was so grand in Solomon's day, silver would lay around on the streets like stones. They would sit on silver like it was stones because there was such an abundance everywhere. God unleashed the abundance of heaven on that generation. The devil never seen anything like it. The world never saw anything like it. Kings were being converted, queens, peoples. And the devil in that time said, this is not going to happen again. I declare myself king of the global financial machines. And he set up a system called Tyre, a controlling system of mammon, to set over the financial systems of the world. And Tyre, by the way, is sitting on them. It sits right there on the side of the Mediterranean Sea, the king of Tyre. Now, you understand all this is imagery. Now, you remember Jesus when he was in his temptation, the 40 days? You remember the third temptation? The devil took him somewhere. He took him on the exceedingly high mountain, showed him the kingdoms of the earth and the glory of those kingdoms. He said, all this is mine. I'll give it to you. Bow down. Worship me. It's all yours. Jesus didn't even argue with him. Just remained silent. But he knew, oh, you just wait. I'm here by my Father. I'll worship the Lord my God. Him only will I serve. But before this over, it's all going to be mine. But to do that, the Lord will have to topple Tyre. He will have to override. You see now, it's not just money. It's the manipulation of people. You see the power base. I have a series called The Two Brides. The devil also is called the King of Babylon. When in that same chapter, he's named Lucifer, Isaiah something, 14, I think. Remember the, are y'all with me? Am I too heavy? I still got a long ways to go here. I'm in the fifth year of this. I got to get to the 10th year. Okay. So we're walking out years in minutes, right? God's redeeming the time. You remember in Revelation 8, the whore that sits upon the waters, Revelations 19, called the whore of Babylon. She says, I am a queen and I am no widow. Very specific words. I am married. The war is between two kings, two brides, the bride of Christ and that you've been looking, the COVID stuff, the control stuff, what they're pumping out of Hollywood, what they're pumping out of the government now. What they're coming out globally, they're trying to create a global system of control. It's not just a control of money. They use money to control people. They want to control everything. They want Marxism to the nth degree. And if God didn't check them, they would have already had it by now. They're moving at the speed of light right now. They are moving with technologies now that are beyond AI technologies, computers that can solve equations in a matter of minutes. It took 10 years to solve. They are moving with things. They are totally demented. They're full of the devil and they are bent on control and they will get it for 7 years. But God is going to throw a huge wrench into all this. I want you to go to Isaiah 23 for a minute. Yeah, give glory, glory. Hallelujah. Waters are going to come out of the sanctuary. It's more than waters. It's the house of David that's coming out. The living waters that flow into the Dead Sea is the reemergence. I mean, the living waters are flowing to the Great Sea is the reemergence of the house of David, the crowning glory. The church will rule and reign before the tribulation hour. The church will be crowned to rule and reign. There'll be a great shaking of the financial systems of the world. There'll be a great wealth transference as the house reemerges into the earth. And these living waters are going to flow against this king. And I'm going to show you specifically why we're in that day and hour right now. Go to Isaiah 23. Okay, you know, Mr. Trump, on the exact day, May 14th, 70 years from the day Jerusalem was declared a capital. Tel Aviv was declared the capital 70 years to the date he moved that to Jerusalem. Oh man, we had a big party in here. We came instead of at midnight. We thought this is the year. Glory to God. Cause after the days of one king, after 70 years, and then it didn't happen. And then something else happened last year that was huge. Come on, Chuck. Can you do it? Huge. Okay. Verse 15. And it shall come to pass in that day. The Tyre shall be forgotten 7 years. He talks about a big merchandising mar of the nations in this chapter. Have a whole series on it. You can go listen to it. It's in the Mount Hebron series. According to the days of one monarchy or one king, say 70 years. And at the end of the 70 year reign, Tyre will sing as a harlot again. You know what that 70 years was? Queen Elizabeth. She ruled for exactly 70 years, the monarchy. Well, already we had the first sign of the 70 years when Trump on the 70th year. See, God speaks of Osiris, a king, after 70 years fulfilled. That whole prophetic generation is coming out again. Every prophecy from Zechariah to Haggai was for that generation, never got fulfilled. There's another generation coming out of the Babylonian harlot. We're coming out. You know what Zerubbabel means? Out of Babylon. He's the king that will deliver his people out from Babylon. On the 70th year, say 70th year, Queen Elizabeth died in her 70th year of the reign, the monarchy. That was a double confirmation that the end times is at hand now. And that God is going to fulfill this prophecy that goes right along with Haggai chapter 2. And it says it right here, according to the days of one king, the end of 70 years, Tyre would sing as a harlot. Take a harp, go about the city, thou harlot that has been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs. It shall come to pass at the end of the 70 years that the Lord, say the Lord, would visit Tyre. How's he going to visit? With living waters. The house of David reemerging. Shall turn to her hire. She will commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world. You know what? This is the financial fornication. It's talking about a global system. All the kingdoms of the world interconnected. Now watch this. And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord. This is the same thing as the prophecy of Haggai chapter 2. Once again, shake the heavens and the earth, sea, dry land, and the treasures of all nations will come into my house. But we are in a prophetic time zone because the 70 years has been fulfilled. We are in touchdown territory right now. We are in boom. It can go boom. It's more like boom out from us. The suddenly of heaven will burst out from our temple. The waters will begin to flow. It will come out just like nature declares the glory of God by water. The babe, it'll birth out by water. The living fountain of God will burst out. And when it flows to the great sea, say, flow to the great sea, they that go down to the seas will do business in great waters. This generation will see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. When they flow, they're going to topple the king of Tyre. These waters are going to flow and override his entire system before the end. But we will be participants to rule and reign with Christ the King, reemerging in the earth with his house, with his crown, with his throne, with his glory. He's going to burst out from within with a double river. One will go to the Dead Sea, the other one will go to the Great Sea. We are generation resurrection. Go to Isaiah and I'll close. Isaiah 35. Here's Dead Sea waters. Isaiah 35. The wilderness, verse 1, and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly. Strengthen, verse 3, the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. Verse 4, say unto them that are fearful, be strong, fear not, behold, your God cometh with a vengeance. Verse 5, then the eyes of the blind will be opened. And the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then shall a lame man leap as the hart, the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for in the wilderness, what? The waters shall break out, streams in the desert. The parched ground will become a pool of water, and thirsty lands, springs of water. And in verse number 8, and a highway shall be there. In a way, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. That's the waters of the Dead Sea. Isaiah 60, verse 1. This is the generation we're living in. Arise, shine, thy light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth in gross darkness. The people are already starting to see that with the transgender agenda. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory will be seen upon thee. It's coming out of thee. The Gentiles will come to thy light. The kings of the brightness of the rising. Look at verse 5. Then thou shalt see and flow together. Your heart shall fear and be enlarged because the abundance of the great sea. Say the abundance of the sea. Definitely not talking about the Dead Sea. The abundance of the sea shall be what? Converted unto thee, and the forces of the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to thee. There's going to be a conversion. Just like it was in David's day, he overrode the spirit of mammon in his day. He gave the crown to Solomon. Solomon said, there is neither evil occurrence or adversary anywhere in my kingdom. David's crown, put it down. You're going to wear that crown in the spirit. You're going to get baptized in it in the last days, and you're going to rule and reign with him until he returns to lift us out of here. And the wealth of the seas will be converted to the end time people of God. God will judge the spirit of mammon. He will shake the nations. Tyre's throne will be ultimately toppled in the 7-year tribulation, but we will have authority to rule and reign in our hour and day, to give testimony of our living King, and his return has come. Baptism in royalty is about to happen to the people of God. Verse 22 and verse 11. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually, day and night. that they may bring unto thee the wealth of the Gentiles, and their kings will be brought in. It's a day of the kings again. We're a little different order of king. We may not walk around in a purple robe in the earth. We sure have one in heaven, but we will rule and reign in the earth with royalty is upon us in the spirit. God's going to crown us with the seven spirits of God, and we're going to rule with him in this hour. He's going to make a mass transformation of a whole generations of Jacobs are going to go before his face. We're going to come out as Israel, reigning princes, reigning kings, changing of the names. I'm going to read it from verse 19. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give thee light. The Lord shall be the everlasting light. We're going to walk by a new sun. Penuel's sun. Everlasting light, the God thy glory, the sun shall no more go down, neither the moon will draw itself, for the Lord shall be thou everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be ended. The people also shall be righteous. They shall inherit the land. The branch of my planting. Say, we're going to inherit the land. We're going to build some wells of Beersheba, and the work of my hands, and they may be glorified. This is a good one to close on. Ready? A little one shall become a thousand, and a strong one will become a nation. Ah, the Lord will hasten this in its time. When he gets ready, how long did it take for everyone to hear about the Asbury revival? One day, 3 days, Tucker Carlson was on his way, and they wouldn't let him go in. Do you know how fast this is going to move in the social media when the waters? One will be so anointed by the living waters, you'll become a thousand, a little one, a strong one, a full age. You're going to become like a whole nation. What's going to come out of you can feed a whole. Listen, if that rock could give water to 3 million people in one setting, what is inside of you for a city? We have to learn to understand what's in here and how to get it loosed. The only way you're going to do that is give attention to it and understand how to keep it, how it to grow, nurture, multiply inside until it leavens. The fountain comes out. The devil is not scared of the present church. He is scared of what's inside of you. He comes for the word. That's why he attacks you, because you carry a meaty word. He will launch an assault against you because he's after that word before it starts multiplying, because so mightily grows the word and multiplies, he has no defense for it. And it's about to turn into a full-blown fountain. Stand up, my rock, stand up inside of me. Stand up, my rock, and become a double river I see. Stand up, my rock, stand forth as a glorious fountain this day. When I was driving in here, I looked at the church. But when I looked over the house, I thought I saw this big fountain. It must have been 100 feet around. It was about the whole thing, and it was like going straight up into the heavens. I'm like, I kind of double-take, and I said, oh, that's just probably me. But I don't think it's just me. I think God's going to unlock our fountains in the last days. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah!